Wow. What a great song. Thank you, Steve, for doing such a great job in picking out our song service for today. You always do a great job, and Joseph and so many others that do as well. Thank you, church, for being here today. It's so great to see you. So great to see many that are visiting with us from Mobile Christian School. We appreciate your presence as well and the talent that your children have. And they're going to put on display for us after our services this morning. Appreciate that very much. And also, we're great, thankful to have our members here and so excited to be a part of this forever family. I want to thank you also to those who participated in our services today. Appreciate Taylor reading to us from Deuteronomy 3. And then, of course, Ken Murphy residing over the Lord's table and Bubba for leading us in our opening prayer. I'm thankful that we have this time together to come back, and as Bubba said, and I really like the way he put that, plug into God and recharge our batteries. And he reminded us it's not about us today, is it? It's about God. Today is His day. It's the first day of the week that we have the opportunity to come together and assemble together. But here's the beautiful thing about it is once we leave out of here, if we've given God our all, if we've sang these songs from our heart, if we've prayed, if we've read, if we've challenged ourselves, if we've remembered the death of Jesus Christ, and once we leave out of here after fellowship and encouragement, man, there is no way we should leave here miserable today. We should all leave here feeling good. Because, why? When we plug into God, we're going to get something out of it, right? We're going to be encouraged. And that's exactly what Moses is told by God in Deuteronomy 3 that Taylor read to us a moment ago. I mean, what about bad news? I mean, you get bad news? I get bad news. We have bad days, right? I'd love to sit here and tell you because I'm a preacher that, hey, man, everything goes great for me. But that's not true. You know that's not true. I'm a human being. I make a lot of my mistakes, of course. But we have people in the world and struggles and everything that try to bring us down. Well, Moses made a mistake. Remember when he should have spoke to that rock? Well, that cost him the promised land. And God reminded him of that in Deuteronomy 3. He said, hey, you're not going. You're not going across the Jordan. That's bad news. Did you come in here today with some bad news on your heart? Maybe. Did you come in here down? Maybe. Things tough at school. Things tough at work. Things tough at home. Things tough in life. Maybe. But then he told him this, hey, I want you to still do something for me. I want you to go tell Joshua, hey, everything's going to be all right. I want you to go and here, don't miss it, he said, encourage him. You see, encouragement goes a long way, doesn't it? Encouragement is sometimes that pat on the back or that, you know, that attaboy or that attagirl, if you will, that makes us, hey, that person may have said something that we could have had all these bad things going on, but that one pat on the back, it just got me through. It helped me so much. You see, being encouraged or being an encourager is biblical. God told Moses to do it. He told you and me as well. I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans 1, please. Romans 1, verses 8 through 12. This is a passage of Scripture that reminds us. Romans 8, 1 also is another great passage that we're reminded that there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. That's encouragement, right? Well, Romans 1, 8 through 12, before he even gets there, is also encouragement. Listen to this. Paul, writing the church at Rome, said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying, I'm proud of you, church. I'm proud of what you're doing. I'm proud that your faith is known throughout the world. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. You think a church that might be feeling down, that might have forgotten that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus along the way, because He's going to write that to them a little bit later in the letter, you think that that kind of church didn't need to hear the Apostle Paul say, hey, I'm praying for you every single day. And you know what? There may be somebody in here that you're praying for them every single day. And I know that we get caught up, hey, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, et cetera, et cetera. But go and tell that person, hey, I'm praying for you. I have people sometimes that will text me or call me and say, hey, I just prayed for you today. That, I'm telling you right now, that's like, wow, my tank is full. That's what Paul's telling them. And he goes on to say, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. And now he's saying, hey, I'm going to come see you. That's another form of encouragement. For I long to see you, another form of encouragement, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be, here it is, encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. See, when I read this, and I know we've got visitors here today, but I'm going to talk about Azalea City for just a minute. When I read this, I think of Azalea City. Again, this place is the only place I've really known. But this is my home. These are people that, yeah, I've seen people come and I've seen people go and I've seen people step into eternity. You know, and some of those things are really hard. But it's encouragement to me that know that when I came here to worship today, that my best friends on the planet worship with me. That means a lot. And that's an encouragement to me to know that I'm going to be here and I'm going to see them and I'm going to be able to cut up with them and have fun with them and of course worship with them. The outpour of love here is really incredible. You know, when somebody's going through something, you have never ceased to rally. You've never ceased to send a card. You know, we used to say, always send a card, but now we can send a text, right? We can send a Facebook message, whatever it may be, Snapchat, if you will. There are all kinds of ways we can do it. And so those things are really, really encouraging. And you've always been a constant encouragement to me and my family, and I love you very much for that. But chances are there's somebody in here today, as good as we've been with it, that needs encouragement, that needs to be refueled. See, the Lord's given us this refuge. That's what the church is, right? It's a refuge. It's a place that, you remember the cities of refuge where they would flee something they'd done and go to a safe place? This is a safe place. This is a hospital for sinners, right? We're all sinners trying to get to heaven. We're imperfect people trying to get to a perfect place, but we're trying to do it together. We're trying to carry each other and help each other and love each other and encourage one another. But from time to time, as we draw closer to God, you know, we're here to encourage, we're here to edify, but from time to time, we often get down. We get moments where we're weak. We get moments where the car is running on empty. It wasn't that long ago that I put my vehicle to the test, and I had taken my son to meet up with some friends out on Bellingrath Road. And some of you who've worked at ExxonMobil or traveled Bellingrath Road lately know that there are not a lot of gas stations out there. And I tried it, and I said, okay, I've got, you know, such and such miles. When I dropped him off, the thing said none. You know, it quit showing how many miles. I have no idea how many miles I had. But I just remember I put it in the GPS because I wasn't real familiar with that. And they said that there was a mobile station, which happened to be ExxonMobil. But there was a mobile station on the road that road is on. I mean, that plant is on. So I take off. Here I go. I've got enough. I'm a chance. I'm going to get there. Well, I get there and there is no gas station. And I remember pulling over on the side of the road and saying, I'm going to run out of gas. I've never done it in my life. So I called my wife. Said, hey, by the way, she can't even walk or drive. She's on medicine at that time. Hey, I'm about to run out of gas. She said, why don't you call Jason Smith? I said, are you kidding me? Because she just thought you were out there. I said, Jason would make fun of me from here on. I'd have called you, Roger. I'd have called you, buddy. I was out your way. Anyhow, long and short of it, I made it to a gas station in Codin. And the guy said, how are you doing? I said, man, you don't know how glad I am to see your gas station. And I filled up my vehicle and everything was okay. I didn't run out. But here's my thing. I mean, isn't that the way it feels sometimes, though? When we're running low, when we get so desperate, who am I going to call? What am I going to do? Oh, no. And then we get that little bit of encouragement and our tanks are filled again. And we can press on. Man, that's what I want the church to be. That's what the church has to be. That's what God called us to be. That's why Paul wrote about it. That's why Moses was told to encourage Joshua. Because it's hard out there. It's hard in our jobs. It's hard to be a father. I believe the most mistakes I've made in the world is being a father. I make them all the time. I mess up. I am human. But sometimes we get that bit of encouragement, and when we feel like we can't press on anymore, here we go. It's like a child starting to walk. You remember when your children were walking, those who've been there, you know, and they're crawling, they pull themselves up, and they fall down, and they're crying? Wouldn't it be terrible if we were parents and said, just suck it up, you little crybaby. I can't believe you fell. I mean, how would that make us, I mean, we, first of all, boy, we don't want to be videoed with that, would we? No, we run over there, oh, and we're, you know, teared up with them, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. And we're kissing all over them and loving all over them. And you know, we help them do it again. There are going to be people around us that fall. Hey, they're trying to run a race. But sometimes as new converts or those of us who've been in the church for a while, we fall down. And we need help getting up. We need to be encouragers, not discouragers. So it leads to the question this morning, as we're talking about encouragement, what is it? What is encouragement? You see, it's not easy to understand encouragement as much as probably it's easy to understand what it's not. And let me tell you, I have been guilty of being that guy that yells a lot. And sometimes I get called from my wife. You know, I don't have any secrets. Those of you who are visiting with us here, I'm sorry. I'm just letting you know everything. Sometimes I'll get called by my wife, and she'll say, Madeline, close your ears, honey. She'll say, can you talk to Madeline? And I'm like, what do you mean talk to Madeline? She said, I'm at my wit's end. And so I haven't talked to Madeline since she woke up that morning. And so I got to get on the phone and say, you better straighten up right now. You understand me? I'm going to come home and I'm going to tear you up. Oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. Bless her heart. But, and that's the way we do it, do all that, and bless her heart. You know. But the point is, what if we're just yelling at people all the time? You better straighten up right now or you're going to go to hell. Now listen, that message, that is true. We've got to straighten up. But there's a right way to do it. You know, I've coached for a long time now, it seems, and you have to change your approach. When I first started coaching, everybody yelled. And that's what you want to do. You just yell all the time. You know, yell if it's a great play, yell if it's a terrible play, whatever. But now I've learned that children don't react real well sometimes if you yell. And so I'm in the weight room. I'm doing strength and conditioning for our football team. And, you know, that's a, hey, man, if some kids want to be psyched up and just, hey, you got to get it, you got to get it, you're going to get this new max, this new PR, whatever. And then some are like, Coach, I don't need all that. You don't have to yell at me. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, and it's just, that's not encouragement. Encouragement's not, Justin, you're doing a great job around here, you know. maybe I need to get more excited for Justin. I don't know. But the point is, these are things that we as a church have to understand where we live and what time and era we're in. I often say that one thing we should do as families is eat around the dinner table. I still believe that's a very important. It's not just a Mayberry thing to do, right? It's a great thing to do. But sometimes when we sit around the dinner table, what do we do all the time? Well, I can't believe you didn't clean your room today. You know, I can't believe you didn't do this. I can't believe you didn't do that. Our children are like, I don't want to eat with mom and dad anymore. So I try to make a rule that, hey, we don't fuss at the dinner table. Yeah, I might fuss before and I might fuss after, but they get that little bit of refuge right there, you know? But what if we're around one another all the time and we're just negative and we're pulling each other down and this and that? Guess what? People don't want to be around us. So that's not encouragement. That's discouragement. So what is encouragement? I believe the scene of encouragement, one of the most beautiful scenes, is found in Exodus 17. Exodus 17, verses 10 through 13. You want to know what encouragement is in the church, in the home, in the world, in the workplace? Here it is. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So let's put two and two together, church, right? Moses needs to keep his hands up, or Israel's going to get beat. And they realize that. But Moses' hands become heavy. Try to hold your hands up all day long. No, with no weight in them or anything, they're going to get heavy eventually. So they took a stone, this is Aaron and Hur now, and put it under him so he could sit down. He sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people. Now it's going to say with the edge of the sword, and we understand that. But he defeated, and this is Terry adding it now, he defeated Amalek because Aaron and Hur kept Moses' hands up. You see, what a beautiful scene of encouragement. What a beautiful image, right? And I believe this story paints a beautiful picture of what encouragement is. Sometimes, I'm just going to be frank with you, I need you to hold my hands up. But I guess you could also say, hey, Terry, sometimes I need you to hold our hands up. Because we're going to fight, and we're going to fight, and we're going to fight, but we're going to get tired. We're going to get down. And as Bubba said, we got to plug back in. Sometimes we got to help one another. And that's what the church has to be. Another beautiful picture of encouragement is found in Hebrews 12, verse 1. You know this passage. If you've been around, we've heard it. Therefore, we also... What did he just talk about in chapter 11? Chapter 11 we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, right? Bible, VBS is all... Vacation Bible School is all over the place. But here's this VBS scene of all these Moses and Noah and all these that go through the list that were by faith. By faith. And then he goes on into chapter 12 and he says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross. He died that death. What a scene of encouragement. We have a cloud of witnesses as we run this race that are cheering us on. I'm not going to endorse an athlete up here. I'm not trying to do that. But you remember when Michael Phelps was going for all those Olympic gold medals in the Olympics that year? He's got them now. But that year he was just getting one after the other. I can remember sitting around and really just standing up. Like, you know, cheering him on. Come on, man, you can do it. Why? Because it was the USA. And we were wanting the USA to have this hero and everything else and such. And can you imagine how it feels to run a race in the Olympics and you've got America cheering you on? I can imagine that. I don't know how it feels, but I know how it feels in our Christian nation. As we're running this spiritual race. And when I've fallen down and I've been hurt, for somebody to say, hey, don't give up. I've had a lot of them here. And I can name names of people that have said, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Let me help you up and keep running. Holding one another up. Refueling our tanks. Encouraging one another. That's what people are looking for today. So it leads us to the next question, maybe. How then? If we know what it is, how do we implement it? How do we encourage others? How can I be the most effective when it comes to my encouragement of others? Again, it's a biblical concept, right? How can I do it? Well, let's look at, as I mentioned Wednesday night, we're going to look at him, the son of encouragement, Barnabas, who was Joseph, but they changed his name because he was such an encourager. Turn over to Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 36 again. Acts 4, 32 through 36. This is what it says here. What a great scene. The church is just blowing numbers out the water, but it's expensive, right? It costs money. So the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. They distributed each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. This is our first introduction to Barnabas. And we know him, we learn him, because he was an encourager. In chapter 13 of Acts, he goes from the son of encouragement to one of the first missionaries on the planet. He and Paul join up, and they go on missionary journeys. And along the way, they're traveling, and it may not always be safe, but they're going there to establish churches, to check on churches later that had been established, and to do what? Give them encouragement to help them along the way. And then in chapter 15, this is where I want to really get to with Barnabas here today, to kind of tell you the kind of guy he was, remind us of the kind of guy. He wasn't perfect. We know he messed up. But if you turn over to Acts 15, and let's look at verses 36 through 40 together. Acts 15, 36 through 40. There's a problem over a young man. Verse 36. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren." What are they wanting to do? Go give them encouragement. "In every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John Mark, John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed. Now, God bless both of them, even though they had a disagreement over John Mark, and it was a pretty heated disagreement. Reminds us as Christians that that's going to happen from time to time, right? But the son of encouragement didn't give up on John Mark. By the way, you remember what happened later. Paul said to Timothy, "Hey, send Mark with me. Send Mark, for he's useful for me. He's going to help me in my ministry." So Paul come back around as well. But Barnabas here says, "No, I'm not going to give up on that guy." What if somebody would have given up on you? What if someone would have given up on me? You see, that's one thing I've been so blessed with here at Azalea City. You've been patient with me. I have grown, and I'm still growing. From 16 years old, the very first time I preached a sermon, to now, I hope I've gotten a little better. But the point is that you've been patient with me. And that's a beautiful thing that the church has done. And that's what we need to do to others. We need to be patient with them. We need to understand that, hey, there may be somebody that's having a bad day. We all have bad days. We got to be willing to give of ourselves, just like Barnabas was. We got to be willing to work for the Lord wherever He sends us, just like Barnabas did. And then we got to be willing to give second, third, fourth chances to others. As long as they're willing, right? There's some people say, "No, don't ever talk to me again." And well, we shake the dust off our sandals. But the point is, we've got to do that. So as we get ready to close out, I want to just give you some things that are practical. This is what encouragement will do. Why do we need to do it? Here they are. Number one, encouragement will keep others from giving up. That's biblical. Here's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort," or we could say encourage, "the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Then Acts 11, verses 22 and 23. "Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord." There may be somebody right now in your circle of influence. Perhaps they're sitting on the pew with you today. There may be somebody that's almost to the point of giving up. I can't do it anymore. I can't go anymore. You know what? If we will encourage them, if we will be that cloud of witnesses, if we will be an Aaron, if we will be a Hur, if we will be a Barnabas, we can hold them up, we can encourage them, and perhaps they won't give up. They'll press on. I could say a lot, and I've said this before, and I don't want to be sappy, if you will, but I got real close to giving up a few times around here. And I'm not telling you this has been recent or anything like that, but over my years, there have been times I was like, man, I'm going to get out of ministry. I'm going to go to secular work. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to, you know, it gets hard sometimes and you think, hey, I can't do it anymore. But there's always been somebody. There's been a Bonnie Harrison or there's been an elder or there's been other people I could talk to that has said, hey, don't give up. And at 41, I'm here today because of those phone calls, because of those encouragements. But there's another reason we should encourage others, and that would be this. It will help bring out their potential. Deuteronomy 1, verse 38, Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. 1 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Here's what I was talking about with Paul. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Let's talk about those two instances. Joshua, the son of Nun, he said, encourage him. We know Joshua had the faith and the backbone because he and Caleb were the only two of those 12 spies that said, hey, we can take the land. But here he is. God even gives them encouragement in Joshua 1. He says, hey, if you keep encouraging him, if you keep patting him on the back and prodding him along, encouraging him along the way, he will have the potential to be a great leader. And he was. He led him across the Jordan. He led him into the promised land. Here's Mark, who Paul fought with Barnabas over. And he tells Timothy at the end of his ministry, I need him. Encourage him. Let's bring out his potential. But maybe if Barnabas doesn't take him along with him, he gives up. Who knows? He never reaches that potential. Thirdly, encouraging others will help them to see God even in the tough times. We're all going to have tough times, folks. Jesus Christ told us that. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, you're going to have trials and struggles. But James reminded us in James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then Romans 8, 28, that's a beautiful one, right? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. If I could tell people today, if I could give you a message that will preach to people today, no matter where they are in their walks, it would be this one. If you will encourage them, tell them your story. Remember, the word testimony is not a bad word. Give them your story. Tell them how God helped you. If they're going through tough times, remind them of the tough times you went through. Remind them Romans 8, 28 is still in the Bible and it's still true today. Two more. It will help, if we encourage others, it will help strengthen them. Philippians 1, 12 through 14, I love this. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul said, I am in prison. I am in prison. But the palace guard knows why I'm in chains. And so do the people that hear these words. And it's brought out their potential. They're stronger because of it. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. That's that image of that sword being beat iron on iron, right? They heat it up, they refine it, and they're beating it and sharpening it because it's got iron here and it's an iron sword. And that is how it got sharpened. I need you, you need me. We're going to sharpen and strengthen one another. And then finally, when they do all that, you keep them from giving up. You keep them, bring out their potential. You see God in the tough times. They're strengthened. Guess what that's going to do? It's going to strengthen the whole church. Even if it's just one person, it strengthens the whole church. Hebrews 10:22-25, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to what? Stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need you here. That's what he's saying. Three reasons why I come to worship. Draw near to God. Strengthen my grip on faith. And to encourage one another. We need one another. The church needs you. The church needs me. The church needs those who are outside these doors. We've got, if we're going to grow, we've got to be encouragers. A little bit of encouragement goes a long way. I'm thankful. I'm surrounded by a great cloud of encouragers. But as I close, I want you to think about a scene, one more scene today. It's at the Special Olympics. The Special Olympics is a pretty fascinating event because you have these children who have special needs. But because of their special needs, they may not be able to run with someone who doesn't have special needs. They may not be able to run as fast. But when everybody's on an equal playing field, it doesn't matter. And you know, at the end of the day, at the Special Olympics, they have somebody that goes around with them. They get them to event, to event, to event. And maybe they get to a race, and then they get them to the starting line of the race. And then they say, hey, I'll see you at the finish line. And they go to the finish line. And at the finish line, they're saying, come on, Johnny, come on, Susie, whoever their names may be, right? They're running. They fire that gun, and those children take off. And they're running, and they're running, and they're running. But they don't care about first place. They don't care about a gold medal. They don't care about standing up on a podium and a platform. They care that their person is at the end of the finish line waiting to give them a hug. They're called the huggers. And they're running to the hug. You see, that's what we're doing. We're running to the hug. Because at the end of the finish line is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, put the world behind you. Get in the race. Run to the hug as together we stand.